Well, it's good to be back home. There's been a lot of times that I've tried to think of my home, and I know where my home is. My home is in heaven. But as we pass through this life, we have different places that we like. We have different places we want to be. And sometimes we can be there and sometimes we can't. But regardless of where I'm at, I always think of Fairview Memorial. Doesn't matter where I'm at physically. My home, my house, is wherever Janet is. So, you know, we can be in one place and be comfortable, but yet our home is where our home is. And there's the old saying, there's no place like home. And I'm glad to be here tonight. I thank God for the opportunity to be here tonight. There's been a subject on my heart and on my mind for quite a while. And tonight I'd like to try to bring that out just a little bit. So if you'll turn with me to the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew, beginning down in verse 17. And I only want to read 4 verses of Scripture there tonight. And our thought tonight is the law. You know, I've always said I wouldn't belong to anything but a New Testament church. But when a church forgets the Old Testament, I don't believe it's any longer a New Testament church. And the reason that being, the law is what convicts us of sin. The law is our schoolmaster, and we're going to read that in a minute. And a schoolmaster is one that teaches. Well, when Christ was upon this earth and during his ministry, he didn't have the New Testament as we have. All he had was the Old Testament, the law, and the prophecies of the prophets. That's all he had as far as the written word was concerned. And he didn't try to teach us anything new. He clarified some things to us. But Christ says here in this 17th verse, says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill, or to satisfy, or to complete," however you want to say it. Says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." I'm going to stop there. Like I said, I want to talk about the law. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 4, it says there that for Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now that does not mean that Christ destroyed the law, that he overcame the law, that he done away with it. He didn't do that, because we just read he came not to destroy, but to fulfill. So the end result of the law is pointed toward Christ. And that's what he's talking about there, the end result. Not the end of it, but the end result. When we look at these things, when we see what the law is, it teaches us the difference between right and wrong. It gives us the things that we need not do, and it gives us the things we need to do. The prophets, throughout all the Old Testament, everything they did, everything they said, everything pointed to Jesus Christ. Christ was indeed the end of the law, but he was the end result. He came into this world to fulfill the law because no one had ever been able to do it. Christ is the only human being that ever walked upon the face of the earth that was able to keep every single law. The Bible teaches us that he was without sin, but he was made sin for each of us. This is the end of the law. This is the end result of the law. Jesus Christ is the end result of the law and of the prophets. And you can't take one without the other. This law that we have, that God has given to us. You know, in the beginning, man only had one law. And that one law was, don't eat of the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the one law man had. You know, when Eve partook of that fruit, nothing happened. But when Adam partook of that fruit, then they both knew they were naked. What did God have to do? God had to sacrifice an animal so that he could take the skin of that animal and make them clothes to cover themselves with. This is the first shadow of Jesus Christ. The law was broken. There had to be something to take care of that law. The nakedness was shown upon the face of the earth. Not only their physical nakedness, but also their spiritual nakedness, because they had broken that one law. This sacrifice that was made, this sacrifice that God made, depicts our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he was the ultimate sacrifice. Not only for eating of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden, but also for all the laws that were given down through the age of time. God gave us a whole bunch of laws. It wasn't just the Ten Commandments. There's more to the law than just the Ten Commandments. And when we look at those laws, it tells us how to live. It tells us if we break this law, what we've got to do to correct it. And when we, as human beings, break God's spiritual laws, we have to get forgiveness in order to be back in fellowship with God. How did Adam and Eve come back into fellowship with God? They saw this first sacrifice. God somehow told them they needed to repent of their sins and seek forgiveness. They did this thing because I am positive that Adam and Eve both got saved. We don't have any record of it, but I'm positive they both did because their children knew the law. And when God had given them the law, Adam related this law unto the children. And they knew the proper sacrifices to make unto God. Cain didn't make proper sacrifice. Abel did. God convicted Cain's soul and his heart of the improper sacrifice. He said, all you got to do is correct it, and you'll be back. You'll be the number one son again. You know, he lost his birthright through sin. But God told him, if you'll just make the proper sin, if you'll just do things the right way, then Abel will serve you. But he didn't do that. He got mad, got frustrated, and went out one day and he killed his brother. There had to be a terrible price to be paid for that. That was the first recorded murder in the Bible. He broke the law. He broke one of the commandments. But the commandments hadn't been given to him yet. But yet, there was a law against murder. Because God convicted him of it. But as we go on down through time, I want us to turn over to the book of Galatians for just a moment. Chapter 3. And in verse 3 it says there, or verse 22 rather, Galatians chapter 3, I'll get it right in a minute. And in verse 22, it says, but the Scripture has concluded all under sin. How is it that everybody is under sin? Because we have all broken the law. There's not a one of us in here. Even if we didn't have that inherent sin from Adam, see, through the bloodline of people, we had that sin that Adam broke in the Garden of Eden, it's still passed down to us. But even if we didn't have that sin, we got enough of our own. Because we commit sin. We do it with pleasure. We do it because we want to. So all are under sin. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Romans 3 and 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The glory of God is absolute keeping of the law. So if we didn't have the law today, how would we know when we've sinned? Romans 11 and 32 says, for God has concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon them. You know, if a person had no sin, if a person could keep the law, there'd be no need for grace. Because they would be absolutely Christ-like. Perfect. Nobody is. It says in verse 23 of that third chapter of the book of Galatians, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which would afterward be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. This law that God gave us was given to us to bring us to Christ. Why? Because when we sin, when we break God's law, there has to be something happen to atone that. Nothing that we can do, because we're not perfect. We have broken the law. We inherited Adam's sin, so we're not good enough to make that atonement. So therefore, Jesus Christ, the one perfect man that never brought any sin upon himself, was perfect. He was the only candidate to go to the cross. The only candidate. So therefore, the law brings us to Christ, because the law teaches us when we do something wrong, or we do something we're not supposed to do, or we don't do something that we are supposed to do. We have the sin of commission and the sin of omission. We either don't do what we're supposed to, or we do something more than we're supposed to. So this law brings us to Christ. It says that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now what does that mean? Well, the only way I can explain it, the only way I can get it in my mind, is just like going to school. We go to school for a certain number of years, and we graduate from eighth grade. We get our minor years behind us. We're getting ready to go into high school. That's the way Adam was in the beginning. He was innocent. He was learning these laws. But when he graduated, he knew the difference between right and wrong, because he had broken God's law. We come to this point that we graduate from learning the law to knowing that we've broken the law. So what comes next? We go into high school. We go into the New Testament. We learn about Jesus Christ. We learn what He's done for us, that He's fulfilled the law, that He is perfect, that He has made the sacrifice that we can rely on. We go on through high school. We go through this time that we're lost. We go through this time that we're under conviction of the law, because the law is telling us that we have sinned and separated ourselves from God. It's time to move on. We graduate high school. We're going through this conviction. We need a little bit more. We need more than what's inside ourselves. So we go to college. And when we go to college, scripturally or spiritually, we are going to Jesus Christ, the only one that can change us, the only one that can cleanse our sin. He made the proper sacrifice at Calvary. He did that out of love. See, you know, most schoolmasters, back in, at least in the olden days, when you watch these TV programs and movies and things that have these teachers on there, and they're telling us, they're teaching the classes and things, they're very strict. Some people call them taskmasters instead of schoolmasters because of their strictness. The law is very strict. There's no wavering of the law. There's no bending of the law. But Jesus loved us so much, He was willing to go to the cross. God loved us so much that he was willing to send his son there so that we would have grace. What is grace? Simply put, it's love of God. Because God sheds his grace on us when he saves our souls. We go on. It says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The law has taught us this. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then ye are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Down in verse 4 of the fourth chapter of the book of Galatians, it says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. The law is wonderful. The law is a teacher. It's a taskmaster. It's always straight. It's always true. It never wavers. God doesn't waver either. Because when you come to him, you've got to come to him in faith. You've got to come to him in a manner believing that he will save you. You know, if you was to go to God for anything, whether we're seeking the salvation of our soul or those of us that are saved, we're seeking redemption, we want to get back the joy of our salvation. Anything that we go to God with, we've got to go to God through faith, believing that he wants to help us, believing that he will help us, believing that he will take care of our sins. Jesus said, think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. The law's not going anywhere. That's why I said at the beginning that I wouldn't belong to anything but a New Testament church. We can't be a New Testament church if we throw the law away, because Christ did not destroy the law. He fulfilled it. Genesis 8 and 22 says that while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. These things were created by God and preserved by the law. Why do I know that? Because no jot or no tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. They go hand in hand. As long as this earth remains, the law will be in effect. Now, we don't make the sacrifices that's required under the law. Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice. He made the ultimate sacrifice. He was made sin that knew no sin for us. He began with the sin of Adam in the Garden of Eden, and he has carried the sin of all the world up until the time that he went to the cross, but it didn't end there. He's still carrying our sins today on the cross. And those sins that are yet to be committed. Because Christ is Savior for anyone and for everyone. God said, whosoever will. That doesn't leave anybody out. Anybody can be saved at any time. We was coming over here tonight after I picked Brother Tim up and brought him over here, and he was telling us about his nephew. Got saved Thursday night. Amen. That is wonderful, wonderful news. God is still saving. God will continue to save as long as people will come to Him with a repentant heart, full of truth and faith. In the book of Psalms, 102nd division of the book of Psalms, in verse 25, says, of old, thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. God's going to endure. The foundation of this earth that God created, one day it's going to be burned up. It's going to be done away with. But yet, the works of God's hands shall endure. All of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture, shalt thou change them, and thou shalt be changed. You know, God's going to do that one of these days. He's going to do away with this old earth. He's going to do away with this old heaven. And we're going to get a new earth and a new heaven and a new Jerusalem. It's all changing. It's all going to change one day after a while. But thou art the same, and thy years have no end. The face of things will change. There'll be no earth as we know it now. It'll be a new earth, a new heaven, a new Jerusalem. But God will still be the same. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. People that are saved, they are going to enjoy the change. They're going to enjoy the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. And they're going to enjoy an unchanging God when all these things happen. Go to the book of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, in chapter 1, in verse 23, says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know, when Jesus Christ was on this earth and he got ready to leave and go back to heaven, he said the Comforter is going to come. He said that Comforter is going to come and he's going to teach you things. Not new things, but the same things that Jesus taught. What did Jesus teach during his ministry here in this world? He taught what God wanted him to teach. What had God taught? God had taught us the law. Jesus expounded on it. Jesus showed us what it meant. It says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. You know, that's us. That's what he's talking about there, is us. We're going to live for a while. Then we're going to age, and then we're going to pass from this flesh. We're not going to live forever, but listen to this. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the end of the law, the end result of the law. Back in Matthew chapter 5 verse 19. says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach them men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. There's a lot of that going on today. There's a lot of deception in this world. There's a lot of people that are twisting God's word just a little bit here and a little bit there, and they're teaching it for the truth. But you know what? One of the biggest downfalls we have that's even worse than twisting the truth is tradition. Tradition. Well, that's the way Grandpa done it, and I'm going to do it the same way. I don't care whether it's right or not. It's the way Grandpa done it. Tradition has caused people to fall away. But whosoever shall do them and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, and I'm going to close with this. For they, this is Romans chapter 10, verse 3, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. When we learn the law, and I'm not talking about learning every single law that God has given us, but when we learn the law, that it's been established for us to be obedient unto, and when we realize that we're no longer obedient unto that law, Christ is there for us to reestablish our communication with God, to reestablish our innocence with God. You know, when a newborn babe comes along, it doesn't know what's doing wrong. It learns to lie real easy, real quick, because it'll be crying and you'll think it wants something other, and you go pick it up and it'll hush. Wasn't wanting nothing, just to be picked up. It didn't need anything. You know, babies cry when their diapers get dirty, when they get hungry. They cry for those things because they can't talk and tell us. But yet, they'll cry just to be picked up. And you know what? We're guilty of aiding and abetting, because we'll go pick them up and pat them on the bottom and walk them around just to get them to hush. But when the time comes, when that baby learns that little lie is against God's word, that little lie is separating him from God, then he needs an intermediary. He needs someone to make intercession for him. And that intercessor is Jesus Christ. So yeah, the law does teach us the difference between right and wrong. But the law teaches us to seek out Jesus Christ. The law is not gone. The law is not over. It's still in effect. And when a church does away with the law, it's no longer a New Testament church. That's our message for tonight. I just hope and pray that I've said something that we can use, that we can take and think about. I've been thinking about this a whole lot here lately, about the law, because, you know, without the law, I'd have never known that I was lost. Without the law, I'd have never known that I needed Jesus Christ. So if we can teach the law to somebody, they'll wind up looking for an answer. Hopefully they'll go to Jesus Christ. That's our message, Brother Miller.